I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. If you know anything about American protest music from the last century, you will know the name Barbara Dane. In 1964, Bob Dylan had this to say about her: "The world needs more people like Barbara, someone who is willing to follow her conscience. She is, if the term must be used, a hero." Now, knowing Dylan, he could have been talking about how Dane worked with musicians like Memphis Slim or Louis Armstrong. But by 1964, Dane was as immersed in social and political activism and music as she'd ever been. It all became one for her. And when she started Paradon Records in 1970 with her husband, Irwin Silber, it really became one. I recently spoke with Barbara Dane, now 90 years old, and I asked her the obvious question about Paradon Records. Why did you start Paradon Records? I mean, what was the idea? You had heard these songs all your life, and now a label, a single destination for protest music?
I saw that not only in my little corner of the world, but every place I went, there was something going on that led toward a better world, let's say, to make it short, a world that wouldn't be so violent and so racist and so militaristic and all of that. We wanted a world that was filled with kindness and progress.
But the music was pretty niche for the most part. Who bought the records?
Well, you know, we didn't have any money really. It wasn't a highly financed business or anything. Everything was self-sustaining because we put out the next ones based on the income from the last ones. But my thought was that this will get these terrific songs from all these different languages, all these different movements. But the main impulse was that people were striving for various kinds of liberation and making songs about it.
Songs like this, Hay un País en el Mundo, sung by Estrella Atrao, a Puerto Rican musician, recording with Paradon Records in the 70s. Barbara Dane produced this song.
Decida el viento los apellidos de los ladrones y las cavernas y abrí los ojos donde un desastre los campesinos no tienen tierra.
These are the kind of songs, material that goes to people who are actually engaged on the ground.
Los que la roban no tienen ángeles.
It went on for 10 years like that, growing, 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 because it was a real demand, but only within the circle that knew about it.
No tienen tierra, no tienen tierra.
But the demand was there, and in fact, that's why I finally had to give it up, because it was turning into a real business.
Oh, interesting.
I'd have to have a real business then, with an office and hired people and all that, and that was not, I was not trying to become a business person. I was, and still am, an artist, and I'm singing for particular reasons, and not about just selling something.
There's another record that you put out with Paradon in 1977 called Ireland, The Final Struggle. And on it, there's a song called Wishing the Brits Would Go Home. I mean, that's a pretty clear statement of desire. We're going to listen to a little bit. The ensemble's a group that calls themselves Men of No Property.
Well, good evening, friends. It's good to be back in the good old USA, where they make damn sure to keep all their wars thousands of miles away. For I've just been across the ocean to see my family home, and after what I saw there, I never more will roam. Oh, give me a home where the panthers roam and the weathermen so free. Take a walk in the dark around Central Park, it does not bother me. Tear the country into whatever you do, I will stay right where I am. For I do not want another trip to England's Vietnam.
Yeah.
So Barbara Dane, I'm sure the Men of No Property, the singers here, they were good self-publicists. But at the time, how would you go about finding these working-class voices?
Well, I found those guys. I have never met them. I don't know their names. It's a totally clandestine record. I got in contact with them through Ewan McCall, a great bard of the English world at that time in England. Ewan hooked me up with somebody by mail, And we communicated. We did it all by mail. And to this day, I don't know the names. I don't know their faces. I don't know anything about them. All I know is they had songs that were saying what needed to be said.
You know, as we saw last year with the election, there are working class voices that are left-wing. There is also the working class that elected Donald Trump. Do you think you neglected those working class voices when you were recording albums with Paradon?
Well, I think that there's such a distortion of all of that, of the aims and hopes and dreams of those people at Trump. I think it's such a misinterpretation of who they are and what they are, and misleading them. And I don't think you're going to find any worthwhile songs coming out of their thing. The fascists usually don't know how to write songs anyway.
Really? I mean, you believe that there is a lack of musical kind of skill, depending on your political point of view?
Can you recall any great fascist songs? I'm just saying the songs that anybody'd want to sing. What do you want to do? You want to sing about the kind of issues that they would be singing about? You wouldn't. And if they're singing about them, they're doing it within their own group, the same as we were. Everybody has their own on the ground in their community. But whether they gain any agency, any coin, you know, in the rest of the world, well, it's up to if people agree with those views, maybe they'll pick up the songs, but I doubt it.
I often hear, though, from old-timers that they don't write protest songs like they used to. I mean, do you agree with that?
Well, that's because they're looking for them in the wrong places. They're everywhere. You just look on the Internet. I mean, put your problem into a phrase, and you'll find songs coming back at you.
So, I mean, you've seen a lot. What is your advice for reaching people through protest music?
Get out in the street and sing with them and listen to them. Listen to what they want, what they're saying, what they're trying to get across. Be part of it. And don't be afraid. Say what you have to say. Don't be looking for a market or anything. Just be looking for a response from the people, the faces in front of you. Are they with you? Will they sing with you? This is music of the people. This is honest music of struggle. There's blood, sweat, and tears in this stuff for real. It's not just some kind of a poetic device.
Barbara Dane, thank you very much. I really enjoyed this interview.
Well, thank you. I hope you are not one of those who has to self-censor yourself too much.
Oh, I hope I
didn't. But I'm sure it goes on all the time. You can't help it. Everybody wants to keep their job and their livelihood, so...
Well, there's politeness and there's self-censorship. I try and be polite, and I try not to self-censor. So everybody's connected in a way. Yeah.
Sure. Well, it's not called a system for nothing. We live
in
a capitalist system. It's not just capitalism. It's a capitalist system. And so you have to sort of differentiate between what the system is making things look like and making things happen, and back up and say, okay, outside of that system, there are these other things in the world that are very important and that need to be understood. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Your interest and your, I'm sure, objectivity, hopefully.
<We'll> try. All right.
Okay.
All the best to you.
Best to you, too. Bye-bye.
Well, they say I was born in the land of the free. But the home of the briefcase.
This is Barbara Dane's Resistance Hymn, and that is Barbara Dane on vocals, a talent behind the mic and setting up the mic. That interview is part of Future Folk, a partnership between the world and the Smithsonian Folklife Festival. And that'll do it for us today from the Nan and Bill Harris Studios at WGBH here in Boston. I'm Marco Werman. We'll be back with you tomorrow.
But our freedom's a fable if our conscience is banned. So I'm going to prison. Something I've done for what else?
state, or who's preaching that love is better than hate. So I'm going to pray.
That I've heard once or twice some people make, where it says, I've got something I'll die for, what else can I do? We don't need any more self-appointed martyrs. We want everybody to know that precisely because we love life and love each other's lives enough to fight for them, that it's very important for us to live and to fight. And if they're gonna come and get us, they're gonna have to work hard at it. So I'm going to prison so I can be free. I'm going to prison for what I believe. Thank you.